All right, guys, we'll get started. Pittsburgh Steeler week. Typical Pittsburgh Steeler special teams unit. And I mean that from this standpoint. They're big. They're fast. They're physical. Extremely well coached. Obviously, probably have one of the most dynamic players in the game, Antonio Brown, as the returner. And so he's led to some sleepless nights for us. But we're looking forward to the challenge and worrying about the Cleveland Browns and getting better. So this will be another big test for us. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
What makes Antonio Brown so good from a skill set?
I'd say that he has some risk taker to him, which is, a good quality in a punt returner, because he'll put pressure on your coverage units, catches the ball extremely well, obviously has great vision, toughness, first step quickness, and then long speed. He's kind of, I guess, if you were buying a car and you went into the dealership and said, I want the total package, they'd roll out the Antonio Brown car. I mean, he's a good player.
Whenever I think of him playing special teams, I think of that weird play with Spencer Lanning. Is that one of the most bizarre returns you've ever seen? And do you show guys that? Do you use it as a teaching moment at all?
Well, I mean, I think probably you say it's bizarre from the standpoint that he tried to jump over and kicks him in the face. we actually watched the play. Just with regards to the coverage and how to give yourself an opportunity to tackle Antonio Brown. Because when you turn on his career highlights, I shouldn't say highlights, just his catches and his returns, and you watch other people try to get down and cover the guy. I mean, there are common problems that do come up, and it is based off of his skill set. But when he tried to go over Spencer there, I mean, he was trying to obviously make a play. I've seen Devin Hester do it running down the sidelines, and guy went low. He probably thought that he was going to go low on him and he was going to hurdle him. And, it was obviously a tough play for us. But, we learned from it in all aspects, just not him hurdling us.
Because we saw Jamie Collins do it once when he was with New England, and then in that Denver New Orleans game where the guy jumps over the long snapper. Like, I guess, what are the rules there as far as how you're allowed to do it, and is that something you ever coach?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you have a guy that can, that's in your back pocket, the rule states this: the guy that's hurdling the player as he can't be at the heels of the down lineman before he takes off, before the ball is snapped. Because then if he's at the heels and the ball hasn't been snapped, he's considered covering up the long snapper, which is illegal. Then the next thing is when he goes over, obviously he can't put his hands down to propel himself up or over, so he has to be clean, kind of like what the Denver guy did the other night. And then, so that's – those are kind of the things. I mean, it's – if you don't get it, that's a big penalty on you. And then the other thing with guys going – they used to – guys in the front would go down, so the offensive lineman would drop down, so it would make it easier for the guy to hurdle. Now you can't do that with the up front guys. They can only, like in the Denver game the other day, they put it with an open hand, put their hands on the offensive lineman and kind of push them down. And that you can do that just because obviously, I mean, you're taking a chance that somebody's popping up and then you have a blown knee and you lose your player right there. But, guys that can do that, I mean, there's a lot of timing. There's a lot of things that maybe go into it. Do you have a snap key off of the holder? I mean, the timing has to be just right. So you try to figure those things out as you're studying the field goal team.
Do you think that this emphasis on safety has maybe gone a little overboard? Onside kicks, for example, you can't overload one side like you used to. Or,
well, I mean, safety is obviously it's important, and it should be important. I think there's such a talk about it because the players are bigger, stronger, and faster now, and it's a different game than what it was 10 years ago, obviously 20 years ago. And I'm always for player safety. Because the collisions, sometimes television, I don't think, does it justice. I mean, when you're down on the field right next to it, I mean, those are car wrecks. that are sometimes taking place, and player safety, in my opinion, should always be first and foremost.
Well, yeah, I don't disagree with that, but I'm just saying, do you think it's you don't think it's gone
overboard?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I love the game of football, and I don't want the rules to. For example, in my area, I would never want the kickoff not to exist because of player safety. But I am all for adjusting the rules to make the game still competitive and safe. And I just think as things go on, people and rules are always going to evolve. And I don't think the league is. I don't think they've gone too far. I really don't. I mean, the rules are the rules, and play within the rules. And if you find a way to bend them, then you take advantage of it.
How do you teach guys? We've seen this a couple times in the last week or so. Players getting called on field goals for running into the kicker, trying to block kicks, and they're pretty much as positioned as you possibly could be, but they still end up gliding into the kicker, which obviously draws the flag. How do you teach your guys how to avoid the kicker while also from that edge to be in position to
sure
block that kick?
Because here's the deal, and it's kind of the age old question. People say, wow, you just got a personal foul and you ran into the kicker. Well, if you're going to call a block, and this is what we say, if we're going for it, we're going for it. And sometimes there comes consequences with that. Now, in order to stay out of that, if you're coming around on field goal block, we're going to launch ourselves a couple yards in front of the hold, all right, to give us some room. And then there's other factors of the wind and where the kicker's starting the ball and where you want to bring your block from and those type of things. But, obviously as you're going for it, if we're going for a punt, we need to know where the launch point's at. We're not going to the punter, we're going to the block spot. And then with regards, we have certain rules, whether we're coming from the outside or the inside, so that it can help take away the roughing or running into the kicker.
You about Cody and seeing how he does in his first weather game. Are you interested to see how Cody does in his first?
No question. Yeah, they're calling for some weather. If you're worried about your hair, you probably don't want to go to this game. I mean, they're talking about maybe gusts up to 50. I just saw this morning, but no, I think that's he was a cold weather kicker in Philadelphia. But I think with any player, You're always interested to see how they handle the elements. He has to hit his ball and strike it well, which I think he will. And then you got to play Mother Nature, and you hope that you're kind to her and she helps you out.
Chris, a lot of returners have been, and this is both punt as well as kickoff. I always thought the golden rule was you stood on the 10, and if the ball's over your head, you don't do anything. But we're seeing a lot of guys, and I'm not saying you're the Browns specifically, but we're seeing a lot of punts being fielded even inside the 5-yard line and even kickoffs as well. What do you think that is? And what have you changed how you teach your returners in regards to where and when to field those kicks?
Well, a lot of people, the golden rule is the 10. Some people will say it's the 8. The tough one, like if they're punting from the 50, and it's a true pooch, those are a little bit of the easier ones that you're probably going to let. I don't worry too much about those. It's the one where maybe they're at that minus 42, and maybe you're hanging out on the 15-yard line. And now the ball sails over your head, and you're going, how many steps did I just go back? Some guys do lose track. The other thing that, as you get experienced returner, sometimes you're able to peek and check. The height, here comes the ball, the height of the ball. Now I can check the coverage, where they're at. I do have some time, and I'm going to go ahead, Antonio Brown, I'm going to go ahead and be a little bit of a risk taker and take a chance right here, because you will find coverage teams that we're in the pooch area. We protect because obviously that's a rush area. We protect, we get out, and most likely it's going to be a fair catch because you expect your punter to hang it up in there, and then that returner takes a chance and steals one from you. I do think there is something to be said about the coverage didn't get down very far, and I have an opportunity to bring it back out. I am okay with that. I mean, we're going to push. You have to be smart, I think, when you want to push the envelope, and I think that's probably what you're seeing. For example, the kid from Kansas City that I watch a lot, that Tyreek Hill. I mean, this guy's fast. I mean, super fast. He would be a guy that I would say is a risk taker, but risk reward. I mean, he can go. So it's just how you look at it.
Pre-game against Baltimore, I'm sure he's been doing it in practice like he has most of the year. Are we any closer to seeing him get an opportunity?
Could see him. I think you see a host of guys. We'll see how it goes. I'm really interested, to be quite honest with you, not dodging the question, but the wind and those type of things of how things will play out on Sunday. I think we're definitely prepared for it, how it goes. So we'll see.